ever get that feeling. You know, you're trying to really get your head around something important, wading through stuff online, notes everywhere, and you just wish you could cut through all that noise.
Yeah, just get right to the heart of it.
Exactly. And that's what we're here for. Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to getting properly informed by really unpacking sources suggested by listeners like you.
And today we're digging into a document called Chapter 1 FindingAnswers.pdf. We've also got some related video transcripts that you sent over.
Right.
Our mission, really, is to explore these core ideas about, well, asking the right questions, how we communicate well, and what it actually means to be an expert.
Yeah, there's a lot in here. It goes from, you know, how we first look for answers all the way to the little details of language, even innovation dynamics. It's packed with stuff to help you, the listener, get a solid grasp quickly. So should we jump in?
Let's do it. Let's start right at the beginning. How do we find answers? The document points out, and it seems obvious, we often start with what's already in our heads. Ambient knowledge.
Or a quick Google search, maybe ask a friend.
Exactly. Those are the first steps. But the point is, when things get complicated, those steps, well, they often don't cut it. They don't give you the whole picture.
Yeah, the text has that great example, doesn't it? Someone saying, I've got a headache, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And your first reaction might be, you know, grab an aspirin or something. Which, okay, fine for a simple headache, maybe.
Sure. Okay.
But what if it's something else? What if the headache is just a sign? Maybe asking, what should I do, wasn't even the most useful first question.
Precisely. And that's where this idea of mindful analysis comes in. You have to go beyond that surface question to figure out the root cause.
Right.
And the document then gives us a way to think about questions, categorizing them. You got your directed response questions, who, when, where, which. These tend to point towards a single sort of convergent answer.
Simple answers.
Usually.
Okay.
Then you have the open-ended ones, what, why, how. These are more divergent. They need more thought, more analysis. They're often about complexity.
It's funny, though, isn't it? The actual question word, like what, doesn't always tell you the type. Like, what time is it? Uses what, but you want a specific directed answer.
Exactly like a when question in that case.
So the context is really, really crucial for understanding what kind of answer you're actually after.
And this brings up a fascinating contrast the document makes. It's the difference between just finding an answer, any answer that lets us move on, and how an expert tackles it.
Okay.
Many of us just want something sufficient for the moment. But an expert, they dig deeper. They clarify the question itself first. They assess the quality of potential answers.
They're looking at how it all fits together.
Yes. Considering different possibilities, the probabilities of success. It's a much more involved process.
Which leads nicely into this idea that's central to the document, asking the right question. It says so much of school and our careers actually hinges on the skill.
It really does. When you think about problem solving, framing the issue correctly is like half the battle.
Before you even look for solutions.
Exactly. Experts often start small. They ask these simpler, narrowing questions to really define the problem space before jumping into the big why and how.
Like peeling an onion, sort of?
Kind of, yeah. Getting to the core. And the document mentions, you know, when you're in a totally new situation, no FAQs, no established knowledge base.
You're building it yourself.
You're essentially building it through trial and error.
Yeah.
Creating your own little knowledge base as you figure things out.
That makes sense.
And another valuable role for the expert, according to the text, is being a translator.
Ah, I like that part. Taking complex stuff.
And making it make sense to someone who isn't steeped in that field. That's a key skill, bridging that understanding gap.
So the document then talks about the essential question. This sounds important.
It is. It's presented as the main driving question behind any problem solving or communication effort. Like, what's the fundamental thing this presentation or this report or whatever is trying to answer?
Okay, the core question.
And to get that answer, the message across effectively, the document brings in the component model of communication.
Right. That had sender, receiver.
Sender, receiver. The medium or channel, how the message is coded, potential noise or interference, and crucially, feedback.
So good communication is basically packaging the answer to that essential question really clearly.
Essentially, yes. Effective communicators tell a story, a clear narrative that directly answers that core question.
Okay, but then how do we know if the answer we're getting or the source giving it is any good?
Ah, critical point.
Mm.
The document really stresses understanding the authority, the context, any contextual bias, the perspective of any source, person, website, AI, textbook, They all have these layers.
That feels incredibly relevant right now with AI everywhere. The example used was asking an AI about communication principles.
Yeah, and it might spit out a correct list. Audience, channel, message, etc. Technically right.
Right.
But without the context, without understanding how they connect and why they matter in this situation, it might be incomplete or just not very helpful practically.
So even reliable sources might give different answers or answers with different levels of authority.
Exactly. And that shouldn't shut down the search. If anything, it should make us dig deeper, maybe have more discussions, not just grab the first thing we see.
The document then introduces this idea of a scenario. What's that about?
It's about understanding the whole context surrounding the problem or question. What's the goal? Who's involved? Who's the audience? What's the specific situation? Experts need to grasp this whole scenario.
Got it. So, putting it all together, which brings us to defining an expert. What does the document say?
It offers a pretty practical definition. An expert isn't just someone who knows stuff. It's someone who can apply their knowledge, experience, and skills to a given scenario to actually solve a problem.
It's the application that matters.
Precisely. It's knowledge in action.
And there was that ABCs framework for how experts think and communicate.
Yes, the ABCs. A is for analysis of professional self. B is the big picture.
Yeah.
And C is considering your kanawi.
Okay, let's break those down. A, analysis of self.
That's the expert looking inward. Understanding their own character, strengths, background, biases, motivations, even the persona they project. Self-awareness is key.
Makes sense. And B, big picture.
That's looking outward. Understanding the environment, the context, the dominant views versus their own, who the other players are, their own role and influence within that setting.
Okay. And C, considering your kanawi. That's an acronym.
Right. Kanawi stands for challenges, actions, needs, options including opportunity costs, what you give up, and expectations, thinking about likely outcomes and probabilities.
So it's a forward-looking analysis. What are the hurdles? What can I do? What do I need? What are my choices? And what's likely to happen?
Exactly. It's a framework for planning and decision-making within their area of expertise.
And the document says experts build up this toolkit over time.
Yeah, a collection of tools, methods, approaches. But crucially, they also understand the limits of their expertise and, importantly, how to translate what they know for others.
That translation piece again. So let's talk about communicating with clarity. The document stresses precision.
Definitely. Especially early on, finding common ground, using precise language, avoiding ambiguity, steering clear of jargon, unless you know your audience shares it.
And context again, it keeps coming back. The examples were great, like perspective.
Yeah. Means one thing in our class drawing depth and something totally different in a social discussion of viewpoint.
Or charge. Charging a purchase, charging in basketball, electric charge in physics.
Totally different meanings, all based on the situation. Context dictates meaning.
And we need to tailor how much detail we give based on who we're talking to. Explaining the internet to a 5-year-old versus a computer science student.
Vastly different explanations needed. Yep. You adjust the complexity, the focus.
Okay, what about jargon versus slang?
The document makes a distinction. Jargon is that technical language experts use within a field efficient for them, maybe confusing for others.
Like medical terms between doctors.
Exactly. Slang is more informal, used within a particular social group. Both can cause problems if you assume shared understanding where there isn't any.
Yeah. Accidentally using jargon can really shut down communication if the other person doesn't get it. You need to know your audience.
For sure. In more formal settings, like academic or professional writing, the aim is usually to minimize that kind of ambiguity.
How do we actually convey meaning then? The document listed a few ways.
Right. Naming things. Just giving them labels. Describing them characteristics, attributes, explaining connections or processes, and demonstrating actually showing how something works or is done.
And it mentioned denotation versus connotation.
Yeah, denotation is the literal dictionary meaning. Connotation is the extra stuff, the implied meanings, the feelings, the associations that come with a word. Context and background really influence connotation.
So understanding both is important for communication.
Absolutely. Even the grammar, like whether a word is a noun or a verb, shapes how we understand its definition. Nouns get described, verbs are processes.
And precise definitions help us do what? Group things.
Exactly. They're the basis for identifying examples, forming groups, creating categories based on shared characteristics. Something can belong to multiple categories depending on what feature you're focusing on.
And the document mentioned parameters and assumptions.
Parameters are like the rules, the boundaries that define a category or concept. Assumptions are things we accept as true, maybe to simplify things so we can move forward with the analysis. Clear parameters are crucial for deciding what fits in a group. To communicate complex things, especially actions, the document talks about different kinds of descriptions, technical, mechanical, process descriptions.
Okay.
But it also highlights using figures of speech. These are ways to create mental pictures using comparisons.
Like metaphors and similes.
Yes. And the document stresses that for a comparison to be good, it needs to be accurate, functional, actually helpful and relevant.
So examples are one way. Similes use like or as.
Right. The internet is like a giant library. Metaphors make a more direct comparison. The internet is a giant library.
And analogies.
Analogies explain the relationship between two things. By comparing it to the relationship between two other things, they could be really powerful.
But also risky, like that peanut M&M analogy for the Earth's layers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's great for kids, gives a basic idea of layers, but it breaks down quickly if you need geological accuracy. It's a simplification. You have to know its limits.
Okay, let's shift focus slightly to tone. How does the document define that?
Tone is conveyed through lots of things. Word choice, repetition, voice inflection, even gestures and body language. It's about the overall feeling or attitude conveyed.
And it affects how the message lands, how persuasive it is.
Massively. The document had those examples about a parking complaint, right? Same basic issue, but expressed formally versus really informally and angrily. Totally different impact.
So how do we affect tone? Word choice is one.
Yeah. Using emotionally charged words. Also modifiers, adverbs, adjectives that strengthen the feeling, and how directly you focus on the target, like making it personal versus general.
And this ties into persuasion, balancing logic and emotion.
Right. Appealing to reason with facts and logic versus appealing to emotions like fear, desire, hope.
Which is better?
Well, the document suggests logic might lead to more lasting belief change, but emotional appeals can be very powerful for immediate impact or motivation. It often depends on the situation and the audience.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit now. Innovation and systems thinking. How do they fit in?
The document frames innovation as change happening over time within larger systems. And systems thinking is the approach we use to understand how everything in that system is interconnected.
So you're not just looking at one piece in isolation.
Exactly. You're trying to understand the whole web of relationships and address root causes, not just symptoms.
It mentions homeostasis. That's like stability.
Yeah, a system's tendency to stay stable.
Yeah.
Innovation often disrupts that stability, introduces something new. Feedback loops within the system then react to that change.
So it's like a temporary disruption for progress, dynamic equilibrium.
That's the idea. And the Education in America example was used to show this. A student's achievement isn't just about the student or the teacher.
It's about funding, family background, policies.
All interconnected. You need systems thinking to see that whole picture.
And social innovation is linked to this too.
Very closely. Tackling big social problems like poverty or inequality really requires understanding the complex systems involved and finding interventions that address the underlying structures.
Why is this so important for education and the workforce?
Well, the document argues it fosters critical thinking, collaboration, holistic problem solving, skills that are really needed today. It helps people understand complexity and prepares them for lifelong learning.
So it can be applied in curriculum design, career counseling.
Professional development, yeah. It broadens the range of possible solutions you consider and helps learners develop creativity and teamwork skills alongside problem solving. There are also pointers to extra videos on this.
Right, let's touch on those video insights, the Way Forward video.
That one broke communication down into listening, understanding, and responding. And it made a great point that breakdowns often happen in the understanding phase.
Not because we didn't hear, but because we misinterpreted. Maybe due to automatic thoughts or assumptions.
Exactly. Misinterpretation is a common culprit.
And the 360 training video focused on management.
Yeah, highlighting how crucial effective communication is for managers. For better problem solving, collaboration, motivating teams, boosting productivity, especially in a global workforce.
So it connects those theoretical principles back to very practical workplace benefits.
Definitely. It shows the real world impact.
Okay, finally, let's talk about analogies, drawing from that John Pollock TED Talk, the cork boat story.
Huh. Yeah, landing a White House job with a cork boat analogy. It's a fantastic example of how a really good, clear analogy can make a complex idea click and be incredibly persuasive.
The talk defined analogy as finding similarities between different things, and we do it naturally, right? Like using a map app.
That's our analogical instinct at work. And the story of Bill Klan seeing a continuous flow machine and applying that idea to revolutionize Ford's assembly line. Another powerful case of analogy driving innovation.
But analogies can be dangerous too, the three strikes law example.
Right. A powerful analogy borrowing from baseball, but the talk argues it overlooked crucial differences when applied to criminal justice, leading to potentially harmful outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to consider the differences, not just the similarities.
Whereas Steve Jobs, using the desktop analogy for computers, was hugely successful.
Massively. It made this complex technology relatable, understandable, usable for ordinary people. But again, the effectiveness hinges on critical thinking.
Edison's quote was interesting, too, about a logical mind seeing analogies.
Yeah, suggesting it's key to invention. The takeaway seems to be that creative analogies are vital for solving complex problems, but we need to be critical consumers and creators of them. Remember that saying, all models are wrong, but some are useful.
That fits perfectly. And there was a mention of another video, Jane Hirschfield, on metaphors.
Yes, describing metaphors as this beautiful way we talk about one thing by describing another, engaging our imagination and senses, and reminding us of the difference from similes, which use like or as. Metaphors are more direct.
Wow, okay. So, as we sort of wrap this up, we've really journeyed through quite a bit from asking the right question.
To the complexities of communication. What makes an expert? The power of language.
Yeah, a lot of interconnected ideas. Key takeaways for you, the listener. I guess number one is really thinking about the question you're asking. Is it the right one?
Definitely. And understanding that communication is so much more than just words. It's context, clarity, tone, knowing your audience.
And seeing expertise not just as knowledge, but as that thoughtful application, analyzing yourself, the big picture, and using that Kanoe framework to navigate challenges.
And finally, appreciating the power of comparisons like analogies and metaphors, but also being aware of their potential pitfalls, using them wisely.
So here's a final thought to chew on. How can you, in your own life, your work, start applying these ideas more consciously? Think about the questions you ask. Are they surface level or digging deeper?
And your communication, are you focusing on clarity, context, tone? How could asking better questions and communicating more effectively help you gain that deeper understanding you're looking for or achieve your goals?
It's definitely something to reflect on.
For sure. And we really encourage you to check out the links and videos mentioned in the source material if you want to explore further. This has just been a starting point, really.